Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 61 and the second verse. Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David could well write this from experience many times through his life. And it is a painful place for the flesh to come into when we're at the end of the earth. It's not a place that man would desire to be found, but in the sovereignty and mercy of God, the Lord was pleased to bring David there, and there was a divine purpose in it. Because in his heart, the Lord wonderfully put that desire which is found in our text, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He was to lead him from the ends of the earth to the dear Lord Jesus. And that is one of the most profitable places the child of God can ever be brought to. But I want us help firstly this morning to look at this first clause, from the ends of the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. You know, there are many things that will bring us to the end of the earth if we are the children of God. And there may be immediately those that will say, oh, but we don't want to have to go there. But if it's to lead your poor soul to a precious Jesus, there's no better place could you come. Or for me. There were many times where he was at the end of the earth when he was fleeing from the persecution of Saul. Even in a literal and natural way. Because there were times where he was hid in the caves. No man could help him. He was far from his home, where he dwelt. He was far from the house of God, feeling to be at the end of the earth. And there may be those of you today that are walking in paths where you know what it is to feel to be at the end of the earth. And at that place, you see, only the Lord can help that poor sinner. But the wonderful mercy is, which he declares so beautifully here, that from the end of the earth will I cry unto the Lord. The Lord, you say, is at the end of the earth, as much as he is when he's nigh to his dear people, because he knows where they are. We think there are many, no doubt, today that are at the end of the earth because of the solemn disasters there are throughout the earth today. You think of those in far-off lands that are under continual persecution because they fear God and they seek to know him, and there are those that rule the nations that are enemies of the truth. The wonderful thing is, at the end of the earth, they can cry, can't they, to the God of heaven? David had to, from within the rocks, from within the caves, from in the most remote places that the Lord brought him. He had to cry. But this can be experienced inside in our souls, feeling to be at the end of the earth. And let me name a few characters from the Word of God that knew it. And we would begin by those that were brought solemnly and searchingly under God's holy law. Moses trembled at the law of God. Oh, he did. And there were many of those dear children of Israel that trembled under that law. The Apostle Paul, you read how he was brought in Romans 7 under God's holy law, condemned as a sinner. The commandment came, he said, and sin revived and I died. And under that law, the Lord taught him what he was as a poor, wretched, helpless sinner. And he felt to be at the ends of the earth, knowing that all he deserved was the wrath of God because of his sin. You know, without the law, we shall never know what sin really is. You think of it in the nation, really. We have the laws of the land, and if we step outside that law, in a small way or great way, we are breakers of that law. You can drive in the 30-mile limit and do a 1 mile over, and you're breaking the law, and so am I. We're guilty. Think about the law of God. You see, under that commandment, when it came and sin revived, he says, and I died. He died to all hope in himself, feeling to be at the ends of the earth. And he died to all hope in man and all hope in this world. But oh, how he had to cry to the God of heaven, didn't he? For mercy. For pardon. For peace. And only the Lord could give it. I often mention Psalm 107, but if you go through that, what the children of Israel experienced, how many times they came to the end of the earth and to Wits End Corner. And what did they do there? They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. You know, really, when we read back of the many of the old saints, they had a very deep law work. We don't hear much today of many. We had a character that came before one of our churches recently, a young lady, but she was brought under such deep conviction of sin under God's holy law and felt to be at the ends of the earth, and the only thing she could do was cry unto the Lord. And what did he do? He had mercy upon her. Like he did the publican. You know, the publican truly felt to be at the end of the earth when he cried for mercy. The dying thief was at the end of the earth when he cried to the dear Lord Jesus, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And the Lord heard that cry. He's promised to hear the cries of his dear people. You think of that beautiful word in Psalm 34. I love that word. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. He knew what it was to be at the end of the earth. But he knew what it was for there to be a real cry go out of his heart. And you know, that not only speaks about the Lord's dear children, it speaks of the dear Lord Jesus. And I want to tarry a moment on this. If ever a man knew what it was to be at the ends of the earth, and I speak it with much reverence, was the dear Redeemer himself. He knew what it was to cry. He knew what it was to be at the end of the earth in his suffering. Oh, he did. Some of you in times of great suffering, it may be of body, it may be of mind, it may be of soul, and you have to cry unto the Lord. That's the only place you can go, child of God. And think of the dear Redeemer in his agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what it was to be at the end of the earth. What do we read? All the disciples forsook him and fled. It was a lonely place, and the end of the earth is. But then, think upon him on Calvary's tree, at the end of the earth, when his beloved Father forsook him. If you go into Psalm 22, how did David speak there? He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew what it was in measure to come to the end of the earth as his dear Redeemer was to do many years later. The end of the earth. And how David had to cry, and how the dear Redeemer cried. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was a reason why the Lord had forsaken him, God the Father. He, remember, the dear Lord Jesus was spotless, pure, holy throughout. He knew no sin. The reason why his beloved Father forsook him was because at that time he bore all the sins of his dear people, and a holy God cannot look upon sin, and he forsook his own beloved Son. And oh, how the dear Redeemer knew what it was to be at the end of the earth. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. But then I said we would look at a few characters in the Word of God, and let us just look at them. Well, you think of Jonah in the fish's belly. We read, he cried out of the belly of hell, cried I. That's what it is to be at the end of the earth. No man could help him, could they? He was out of the reaches of all men. Down in the depths, even in a natural way at the end of the earth. But in his own soul. You read those sacred chapters in that book of Jonah, and you'll see what I mean about him being at the end of the earth. But oh, how he cried, didn't he? Where did it bring him? You see, and then all these cases that I may name, where did it bring them? It brought them to the rock, Christ Jesus. That's where it brought them. And if you and I have got a real religion, the things that he brings us into where we come to the end of the earth, he'll bring the sinner. Why does he bring them there? Because he loves them. To the end of the earth, that they might cry unto the Lord. And then he leads them to the rock, Christ Jesus, the sure foundation stone. And dear Jonah, what do we read concerning him? He says, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And that holy temple was a precious Jesus. He got nowhere else to look, nowhere else to cry, nowhere else to go. We sing in the hymn, don't we? It's easy to sing it, but oh, to know the reality. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And here it was none but Jesus could do David good. And then you can think of the dear disciples when they were tossed around in the sea. And they feared for their lives, didn't they? Where was the Saviour? He was upon the shore. And just sent the multitude away and gone into a mountain to pray. And there they were toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. They were at the end of the earth. Oh, they were. And what did the dear Redeemer do? He saw them toiling and rowing. He sees his dear people when they're at the end of the earth. It's a wonderful thing, you know, wherever they may be, at the end of the earth, he sees them in all that they're in and all that's brought them to the end of the earth. And he saw those dear disciples, didn't he? He saw them, we read, toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary. The hymn writer said, he sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. And what did he do? He didn't leave them to perish at the end of the earth, did he, or in the depths of those seas? He came to them, walking upon the sea, upon the waves. And what do we read? He would have passed by. He puts them to the test. And you know, if you've got a real religion, and I have, he put us to the test many times. He would have passed by, but the mercy was he didn't, did he? He came to them. And what did he do? He stilled the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm. The wonders, you see, the Saviour does for sinners. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And let us pursue this a little further. You see, the end of the earth in troubles. You may, there are various forms of troubles the child of God can have. And so often when they're in deep trouble, they feel to be at the ends of the earth, don't they? It may be a troubles of circumstance, or troubles in your soul, or troubles in the family. What does the hymn writer say? Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call? And has he not his promise passed that thou should overcome at last? From the end of the earth, in that trouble, you think of the trouble that Job was in. And the only thing he could do in it all was to cry unto his God. His so-called friends, they weren't much help to him, were they? He knew more about it than what they did, because he was walking in it. But how he cried to the Lord, did you, Job, in all the trouble of soul, in the family, and in his business, and he cries unto the Lord. And where did it bring him? Well, what's in our text? He led him to the rock, Christ Jesus. What could he say? And oh, that we might be able to say what he did. I know. He didn't say, I think, or Mr. So-and-so has told me, or something else. I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Lord heard his cry, and he brought him to the precious Jesus, to the rock. That was the only place Job could rest. He couldn't rest in his affliction. He couldn't let rest in his trouble, could he? But he could rest in the dear Redeemer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And then in the path of affliction, some of us have known a little what it's to be at the end of the earth. And all the cries that go out from the heart of the child of God in the path of affliction, when they feel to be at the end of the earth. What a mercy if he leads us in that affliction to have a glimpse by faith of the afflictions he endured. The hymn writer said, what he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. There's a wonderful certainty. He didn't say, I may cry. I will cry. There was in him, and we need to pause to consider it, in him was a sweet measure of faith in it all. And faith enabled him to say, will I cry unto thee? Because faith believed that the Lord would appear for him at the end of the earth. And if you read right through the life of David, you will find how many times the Lord appeared to him at the end of the earth. Not only when he was fleeing from Saul, but in all the troubles that he had to go through, and all the afflictions he had to go through. And he cries to the God of heaven, and you look how the Lord delivered him from them all. Not just some of them, all the afflictions, all the enemies, and the Lord delivered him. You see, in the Lord Jesus is a mighty deliverer. Oh, he is a mighty deliverer to deliver his dear people. That's why David had to go to the Lord, because he was able, you see. I love that couplet, and you know I often quote it, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more. And then of course you can look at other characters in the Word of God with the children of Israel at the Red Sea. They were the end of the earth. They said, we would have rather died in the wilderness, in Egypt, than to perish in the wilderness. And they cried unto the Lord, didn't they? Moses did in particular for them. And the Lord wonderfully led them to view a precious Jesus in it all as their mighty Saviour. And then you can look, as I often name, in the case of Daniel and the Hebrew children, the fiery furnace. They were at the end of the earth. But they cried, you know. And I love this term, which is used here, will I cry? There's something very real about that, you see. You take a little babe. It cannot tell its mother what it needs, whether it's food or whether it's in pain, but it can cry. And how many times throughout the book of the Psalms, it'd be interesting to add it all up, how many times we read concerning the psalmist, they cried unto the Lord. And you look in your life, how many times do you cry unto him? Sometimes, many times a day, isn't it? You cry to him for help. You cry to him to pardon your sin. You cry to him to appear for you. You cry to him to make a way. With that cry of the little babe, it speaks of real need. And think about it spiritually, you see. If we are true children of God, we're in continual need of the Lord. And that's why we have to cry to him. But you know, it's so real because it's a sign there's life in the soul. Like in that babe, if that babe, and I speak that lovingly, was dead, he'd never cry. But because it's got life, it cries. And think about it spiritually. the natural man in religion will utter many prayers, or so-called prayers. The real child of God will cry, because it's real, and it comes right out of the heart. That's why the publican cried, as I named earlier. That's why the dying thief cried. That's why Daniel cried unto his God. That's why David cried here, because there was life in them. So poor soul, it's a little encouragement to your soul. If you're crying unto the Lord, there's something in you that's got life, reality. It's only the Lord that can do you good. But just briefly, he doesn't leave it there, does he? He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, the God of heaven, he that hath all power to appear, and who is mighty to save. But then he goes further. When my heart is overwhelmed, you know what it is to be overwhelmed by grief, by trouble, by distress, and you're overwhelmed. And there'll be times that's just how you feel. Lord, all these things, they overwhelm me. And that is why we read that 77th Psalm this morning, because the dear psalmist knew what it was to come to that place where he felt overwhelmed, and only the Lord could appear for him. But you see, this is dovetailed by being at the end of the earth. End of the earth, but overwhelmed by everything. It's all too much for the sinner. It's not too much for their God. And there's just one thing really I want to press home in this. In Isaiah 45, there's a beautiful word, you know, that the Lord instructs his dear people to do when they're at the end of the earth, when they're overwhelmed. And we read this, the Lord speaking, and may we lay it to heart. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Who? All ye ends of the earth. Look unto me. You're crying, poor soul, to him, but look to him. And that's what faith will do. From the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there's none else. He reigns, poor soul. He sits upon the throne. He has all power to do those things that are impossible with us. Look unto me, he says. And go back to Jonah. That's exactly what Jonah had to do, didn't he? Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Look unto me. And you think this morning you're end of the earth, you're overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and anguish. Some of you know what it is even mentally and physically to feel overwhelmed. I've been several times, and I'll be honest, of late, where I felt everything is too much for me. It overwhelms me. and I just cave in. And that's where the sinner will come. They can't do anything. They're the end of everything. Overwhelmed by it. Feeling the affliction, feeling the trouble, feeling the distress, feeling the sorrow, feeling the sin is going to crush the sinner. But oh, is there not a looking unto the dear Redeemer in it all? From the end of the earth. When you're there, poor soul, it's then you need the Lord. All the time we think we can do this and manage that and manage something else. We're not dependent upon the Lord. This is where the Lord was bringing the dear psalmist, and this is where he'll bring us. So we're completely, totally and utterly dependent upon him. If he fails us, as I often say, before we get up to preach, if he fails us, I'm finished. We're finished. But he doesn't fail his dear people. They fail, I feel, often an utter failure. But he never fails. And the Christian's hope will never fail. So he says here, it's a beautiful word really, from the end of the earth, the most remote places, maybe literally, maybe spiritually, maybe in the pathway from the end of the earth, will I cry unto thee. This will be your occupation, poor soul. From this hour onwards, will I cry unto thee. You can't manage it, nor can any man, but the Lord can. When my heart, and notice what he says, he doesn't say his mind or his flesh. When my heart is overwhelmed, the whole root of the matter in David was within him, in his heart. That's where he felt overwhelmed. Not just in his mind, but in his heart. We know, there's no doubt he felt it in his mind as well, but it was deeper rooted than that. You see, it was deep within him. Lead me. What a desire, isn't it? To the rock that is higher than I. In other words, and then I'll leave it. Lead me right out of myself to thyself. Because you see, there's nothing in the creature that's of any good. All the goodness is in the Lord. And drawing us and leading us to himself. There'll be real profit to our souls. And for his honour and his glory.